Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Morning. Well, it's always good to be here with you. And I know that Tony and I tried to take a break from preaching, as you most of you know, in July. And I always know when the month is coming to an end because I find myself preaching in my everyday conversations, and it's just time to come back. And it is. It's always good to be here with you, and especially at times like this, when we are once again confounded by the evil that we human beings are capable of doing to each other. And it's nothing new, of course. We're going to hear a lot, like we always do in the coming days, of people trying to attribute mass shootings and this kind of evil to this cause and that source. And yeah, we're influenced by all of that. But this is nothing new. We just returned from Salem. I was on vacation and went to Salem, Massachusetts. And I just wanted to stand on the ground where my ninth great-grandmother and her two sisters were accused and imprisoned in chains. And she and one sister were wrongly judged and sentenced to be hung as followers of Satan. See, it's not new. We humans do this to each other all the time. Now, some of the good that came out of that Salem incident was, unlike Europe, that never happened again here in the United States. They learned something. They learned about how to reconcile. They learned about forgiveness. And they were able to move on together as a community. But not without the wounds. And not without the humility that comes for us to recognize that each of us as human beings has the capacity for that kind of evil. And so I think I just want to start this morning by saying, wow, I'm a bit overwhelmed emotionally this morning. And then the meditation, thank you, Sean. I mean, it just, God's in all of it. For us to recognize that when we wrongly judge and accuse others of motives or, you know, some story that we're making up about them, about from fear or some other source, we're doing evil. And we need to be Christian. And we need to learn to love and not hate. And we've got to find a way. And is it easy? No. But this capacity for this kind of evil toward each other, it lies inside each of us. And it is. It's the same evil that humans did to Jesus, isn't it? So I'm experiencing sadness and yet great comfort, knowing that last week when I was thinking about coming back and, you know, saying, okay, well, what's the focus going to be on the Sunday I come back? And Tony's on his way to Jerusalem right now, so he's taking his vacation. And I thought, I was moved. I was just moved inside that our topic needed to be grace. So our theme this morning is grace, what it is and isn't, how we can recognize it and how we can miss it every single day, how it affects and transforms us anyway. But since grace is something that happens in relationship, I'm not going to preach a sermon about grace. Rather, we're all going to listen for the Spirit's teaching for us this morning. We're going to do it together in real time, like Howard Thurman was saying. So it's real and it's fresh for this moment. Well, we've done this a few times before, and we call this shared learning experience, shared spiritual experience, an open sermon. We call it that because we're open to hearing from God and from each other as we share our thoughts and our experiences and our insights and scriptures and questions and feelings and stories and struggles and hopes. And this morning, to do that around the amazing reality of grace, As you share, I'm going to be sitting here, I'm going to move this, and I'm going to be listening and recording. What's standing out from your sharing, and when it seems like the Spirit is finished for now? I'm going to read back the sermon that the Spirit is going to bring through you as a congregation. I'm going to read it back to you through my lens as a preacher, and I'm kind of at a sense of the flow of the message along with anything that might be coming up in me during the time. Before we get there, though, what I want to do is just say, let's just first say just a brief something about grace. Then I'm going to give you a few moments to reflect on some questions and some scriptures, and then the sharing will begin, okay? Just a few introductory thoughts about grace. What is it? Well, most of us have been taught that grace equals God's riches at Christ's expense, acronym. What I want to say is that grace is more than that. Grace is more than God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a true statement. But if that's the only way that we understand grace, it can limit grace to being only a response to our sin, which it is. It is. But it's so much more than that. You see, grace is the operating system of the kingdom of God. The world that we humans have created is transactional, meaning it's built on what I can do for myself, or what I can bargain with you to get you to do for me. It's transactional. It's about earning and proving, getting and keeping. It's a business model. But the world that God creates for us is not transactional. It's transformational. It's built on us doing together what we can do and then trusting that God is going to do for us what we cannot do. That's grace. God doing for you what you can't do for yourself. And not because we deserve it, but precisely because we don't. None of us deserve it. None of us. God doesn't operate in grace in the kingdom because he has to, because he's disappointed in us, because he's angry with us. It's not transactional like that. Grace is the operating system of the kingdom of God because God loves us with an overflowing, joyous love that allows us to become more and more and more and more like him. Overflowing in unselfish love for our neighbor and our enemy and for God himself. So see, grace is not about earning anything, especially not about earning love. It's not about keeping rules in order to be rewarded or to avoid punishment. It's not about trying to get someplace else other than here, whether that's in this world or the next world. Grace is about living right now out of the abundant fullness that we have already received in Christ and have right here. See, it's about living in a way that when we can really believe that that abundant fullness, that unconditional love of God is real and true, that then we can learn to trust that goodness. We can learn to trust that generosity of God and trust that it is our life in Christ. See, grace is about living in the reality that because of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is already right here on earth. So where else exactly are we trying to get? Jesus prayed, on earth as it is in heaven. He doesn't want us, I'll fly away, oh glory. Yeah, when I'm dead someday, but what about right now? He's saying, pray for heaven now. We're to be an outpost of heaven here and now. We're supposed to be living in a way that reveals grace in a tangible way in our relationships with one another so that a world that is living and in fear the way it is this morning can see an alternative. That's really possible and not just some pipe dream or some ideology somebody came up with. See, Grace is about living in the reality that grace is available, not only for those who already follow Jesus, but for all people, all human beings, everywhere. Paul told the Greek philosophers, pagans, on Mars Hill. He was preaching to them. And what did he say? He's talking not to Christians. And he's saying, in him, in God, in the Spirit, we live and move and have our being. We are all immersed in the grace and the presence of God, in the Holy Spirit, all of us. Deb and I listened to a podcast that I assigned to some of my students last week to watch. And it's he's an interesting man. He's not a Christian, but he gave one of the most powerful speeches that I've ever heard. David Foster Wallace. And 2005, Kenyon College, he gave the commencement speech. This is water. And how hard it is for us to wake up and see the water we swim in. Both the assumptions of our culture and our cultures, our ideologies, the stories, you know, what we've been given from childhood, all of this stuff, to wake up to all of that that's unconscious, wake up to that, but also the water that we swim in, which is the Holy Spirit. And because all of this is true then, and again, like I said, I'm just doing some, just to get you thinking so that we can hear what the Spirit wants to say to us about grace. A few more thoughts. Characteristics of grace. That means we're all immersed. That means grace is universal. That God does not play favorites. That God, Jesus said, God gives rain and sunshine on both the just and the unjust. This is who God is. Grace is universal. Grace is relational. It happens in between. It happens between us. So we're immersed in it. What does that mean? It means that grace is communal. It connects us. It seeks to overcome separation and reconcile in Christ everyone and everything that's separated or broken. Grace is also God-initiated. It means God's the source. Grace is freely given by a generous God who delights in giving good gifts to all. Why? As signs of his love, as signs of his attention that he sees, even birds that fall, a sparrow that falls to the ground. He sees everything, no detail. He's not missing anything. It's also a sign that he values us, all of us. And that leads to just the last thought, that actually, grace is who God is. Over the years, as we grow in grace, I become weary of hearing that grace is a commodity. See, that's what happened at the Reformation. You know, that one of the things that the reformers in the 16th century were fighting against and trying to correct in the church at the time was the selling of indulgences. Do you know what those were? They said, oh, all these holy people and all these saints that have been, you know, living for centuries, they had too much grace. So it's almost like there was a bank account of grace somewhere. And so the church was selling sinners some of that grace, which, you know, when you think about it, it's like, really? How did we get to that place? That's a whole other story. But it's not a commodity. Grace is not a thing. Do you understand that grace is who God is? God offers grace and wants us to pass grace along. Because grace is actually more than kindness, it's more than mercy, it's more than support. It's more than something God does. Grace is who God is. When God offers us grace, God offers us himself. And when we receive grace and we pass it along to each other and to others and even to our enemies, guess what? We are offering more than kindness and support or even mercy. We are offering God himself. And you know what changes everything? That's what changes everything. So let's take a few moments then just to reflect on this mystery of grace, and especially how you've experienced it in your lives. I'm going to ask you not to take a long time, all right? Don't jump up in your heads and try to do some theological dissertation. No. No. What we want to do is we want to hear just, you know, thoughts, memories, experiences that come to you spontaneously in response to just a few questions and a few scriptures. Okay, first the questions. Questions. Thank you. When you hear the word grace, what ideas or images or people or memories come to mind? Is there somebody right there? When did you experience grace? Have you ever experienced it? How did it feel? Not what do you think about it. How did it feel to receive grace? What was it like? What did it teach you about God and others and yourself? Why do you think you remember that? What grace do you need or desire in your life at this time? Let's just take a few moments. Just be aware of God and just let God offer you in grace something. Sorry to interrupt your reflection. Thank you. It's good. Thanks.
Is this light okay? I can make it a little higher.
No, that's good. Okay, so just kind of hold on to memories, faces, experiences that are coming up. And now just a few scriptures. You know, do any scriptures come to mind for you in particular, or do these scriptures speak anything to you? But don't worry, my grace will never desert you or depart from your life. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has already lavished upon us. What's standing out to you? You know, what words are drawing your attention? Two more. Now, since we are God's co-workers, we beg you not to take God's marvelous grace for granted, allowing it to have no effect on your lives. I mean, have you been taking it for granted? Is God asking for some kind of response or change in you? And very familiar from Paul, my grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. Yeah. Okay. Someone has a mic there. Jeff. Jeff's got a mic. You can continue to just kind of be aware of God and what's coming up, but who would like to start?
When I think of grace, I think of the core is love, and I sort of responded to a tweet this morning about El Paso and Dayton. President Trump said about praying for the people in those situations. I believe in that. But, you know, at the core of it, my response was Marianne Williamson is a bit quirky, but she's right about the need for love. And Christianity has a black eye, but at the core of that is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So profound, yet so hard to do. And without the grace of God within our lives, we're never going to achieve that, but it is so needed, both for me and my family and this world that desperately needs God's grace.
I have been a Christian all my life, not even remembering. When I asked Jesus into my heart, my mother told me I did when I was 2. I'm 74 now, and in the last probably 3 or 4 months, somewhere in there, I have regularly been stunned. I realize that, yeah, I take the grace of God so for granted, because a huge reason for me is because my experience of it is usually it feels so ordinary. And since I've understood that, then I can daily, sometimes not obviously not constantly, that's not possible for me certainly, but to be that aware, but I have been able to sink into that water that I'm swimming in with more awareness, knowing that the very ordinariness of the feeling is that's God's grace. I've been expecting and looking for it to be spectacular. And sometimes it is, but usually it just feels real ordinary.
I was not paid to do this. This is a disclaimer. I was not paid to do this Hosanna promotion. Sincerely, to find grace, I had to come to Hosanna. I grew up in a denomination, you had to earn the right to be good enough for God. And I'm telling you, as an OCD, I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I know my diagnosis, okay? I am OCD traits. So, the Bible says, yay, preach to a creature every day of your life. Well, guess what? I got home, and I did not preach to a creature to know the Jesus. So, I was so overwhelmed with the need to be right, and the rules of the church were no proms, no dancing, no movies. Well, I didn't have a high school. I didn't have a college high school life, because I was following the rules. Grace to me is no rules. I found that by coming to Hosanna. In my accident, run over by a tow truck, unconscious for 2 weeks, 7 doctors, not one, but 7 said I would not survive. Here I am. Hosanna brought me their grace. They brought me meals to the house because I couldn't get up to cook. Their grace was God's feet and God's hands that I saw through Hosanna. I had a girlfriend, an acquaintance that I met just the other week, and I invited her to come to Hosanna because she shared in this group I belong to. It's a 12-step group. She doesn't believe in God, doesn't experience God, doesn't know God. And I said, have you ever been to church? She said, no, why would I go there? I don't believe in God. And I said, well, you're missing the church community. The church community, and I gave her the example of what Hosanna's grace did for me to show me God's love. Mm-hmm. I said, you don't have any example of God's love because you aren't with Christian people who show you and God's feet and God's love for you. And I hope she's here today. I didn't look around, but the bottom line is God's grace comes through us and our hands and feet as we do God's work. And I thank you for showing me the freedom. And one really testimony that was neat today was the singer on the stage who had no shoes on. I mean, what the heck? This is so freeing to me. I need this kind of testimony because, listen, OCD thinking, you must dress right, you must talk right, you must act right to be good enough. See that torment I live with? No. Not here. It's total freedom. I love Hosanna's godlikeness. They just love you as you are. Thank you for listening to my sermon. I'm back for more.
Rayella, we love you.
Yeah.
I've always felt like an outcast, even in my family, the weird one, the odd man out, the freak in the room. I don't have a religious background. I've always been a seeker, and found myself in a Buddhist temple, Mandarin Chinese Buddhist temple of all places. So kind of, again, felt like the outcast, didn't even speak Chinese. But they welcomed me. They loved me. They taught me. The two people there who could speak English translated for me as much as they could. So even though we were there, you know, with Buddha, God was there. God's grace was there. I was so different, and God's grace just accepted me. Here I am at Hosanna, all alone. My husband isn't here, knowing only Deb. First time I went to, well, I was actually here only the second week, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner was open, and I thought, hey, let's just jump in. There I am sitting at the table, and Lorraine and Alvin, they say, hey, do you want to be part of my group? And I thought, oh my gosh, they don't even know me, and they invite me to their little personal group. That is grace. I know that I'm different. I'm not from Lancaster. Again, I always feel like the freak in the room, like the different person, like I'm not like everybody else. But they accepted me anyway. I love you so much, and I do love Hosanna. Mm. And to me, that's God's grace. Thank you.
When I think about grace, takes me back to when I was a child, before I was a Christian. You all familiar with that writing footprints in the sand? You know, I look at the milestones and, you know, all the hard times I had, and I look back and I can see now that God carried me through a bunch of those times. God uses people to be that one set of footprints. So he uses things, and I look at the most recent event was when I was going through cancer treatment. So I had a radical neck dissection, chemo, and radiation, and God used my wife. She drove me back and forth to Johns Hopkins. I had chemo and radiation at the same time. And for 7 weeks, 5 days a week, she allowed me to be in the passenger seat. If I wanted to work, I could work. If I wanted to feel bad, I could feel bad. And God used her to be his footprints carrying me.
As I was brought up, I had a terrible childhood, and I never even heard the word Jesus until I was a teenager. I went to different churches, and I just never heard the word. And when I thought about it a while ago, God really gave me a lot of grace. While I was growing up, I could have been killed, I could have been hurt, and there's just so many ways that he gave me his grace and his safety. And even when I was baptized the first time, he accepted me, but it was because I was being baptized to go to heaven, not because I was saved. But when I was baptized the second time, then I really, really knew what God's grace is.
So I woke up this morning, and I was just feeling so sad and so angry. My alarm clock went off. I looked at the cell phone, and I saw there was even more bad news. And I just felt like, Lord, what is going on? Why does this keep happening? Like, they're talking about, you know, making bulletproof backpacks for our kids. I cannot even think about that, the world like that. And as you were talking, Joanne, I was sitting there and I make pictures in my head and I was seeing, like, you know, when it's, you're driving down the highway and all of a sudden a storm comes and it's so intense and your wipers are going crazy and you just feel like you can't breathe, and then a bridge comes and for a couple of seconds you get to take a breath and you get to relax before you go back into it. That's the church. That's what we need to be for all people in all situations, that bridge.
The two things that have really helped me with grace in my growth, one of them is that through the difficult things that I've received grace in my life, is that grace has not always meant that things were okay. Even when I had grace, it's not always meant that things were okay in the moment. It's often meant that things didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to, but that in the moment I was okay and I knew I wasn't alone and that I could take a deep breath and make it to the next moment, knowing that nothing lasts, no moment, whether it's really positive or really negative, lasts forever. And that I would have what I need in the moment to get to the next moment. And if I leaned into that, God would show me the next moment. And if I strung enough moments together and listened, there was always something for me to learn in that. And if I focused on that piece of it. The second part is that the more I learned about that, the more my heart was changed to then take that grace and give it to others. I felt such a deep sense of just wanting to take what had been done for me and give it to another. Because I don't know a single one of us who doesn't have stuff and doesn't need grace. That's every single one of us, thank goodness. And so there are so many gifts about it, but it often comes through the challenge, not just the, I feel grace, but the working through of that, which for me has been such a gift.
I used to think great of grace as when you did something wrong and someone let you off the hook for it. And sometimes that's what grace looks like for people. And sometimes it looks like having a conversation with a friend who sees you and who hears you and also gently points out maybe some areas that need attention. And I'm constantly in awe of grace that gives us time and gives us room for process, for us and for other people. We don't see the whole picture where people are in their journey. Even things like when I experience grief, that it doesn't all hit me at once, that the way I'm made and designed, where our bodies protect us from experiencing it all at once, because we couldn't handle that. And that's grace.
Over the last year or so, I've become more aware of God's grace in my life. And I've realized that I've taken that grace for granted many times. But similar to what was said earlier, I've come to recognize that when that grace has been extended to me, it's an opportunity for me to change my behavior. Mm-hmm. And I see that as a responsibility that I have. That's been an awakening for me.
Mm-hmm. I just thank you for your grace that allows me to even talk. I'm not a typical person to say anything, but you can ask Deb, but she will tell you. I tell her all the time if I die before her. The song that should be played at my funeral should be Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. You can play it in every type of form or whomever group. It is my favorite thought, whatever. It's what, for some reason through the years, maybe it's the closer I grow to God, the more I realize how far I am from Him and how much I need that grace. Mm-hmm. But it is something that I guess I'm not overlooking. And maybe something a little different is to say me to offer grace, maybe as one way is whenever someone says something to me or I'm hearing anything about a person or so forth, I always say to Deb, well, but you know there's a box, and a box has all these sides to it. If you want to look at one side, it can look like this. You look at a different side, it looks like that. Maybe if we look at the whole box, it will we'll think differently. What if we were in that person's shoes? Mm-hmm. Maybe we would do the exact same thing. So that's grace to me. Mm-hmm.
I've received grace a lot throughout my life. Plenty of times, definitely didn't deserve it, but that's kind of the point, isn't it? One thing that I've been struggling with is kind of the other side. A lot of us have been talking about how people and the church are the hands and the feet of God when it comes to grace, and I wholeheartedly believe that's true. But it's really difficult trying to do it. I've been trying to kind of rationalize myself, trying to give grace to some people in my life, and I've been realizing how challenging it is, and also how closely related it is to forgiveness. And it was not necessarily something that I thought would be this hard. Mm-hmm. but yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
I was shown God's grace last year. I've always been the person that thought I had it in control, could do it all. As I laid in the hospital last year, my wife was there through God's grace the whole time. She didn't leave my side. The doctors, everybody here, you know. And as I went through the cardiac rehab and I had to count on other people, just taught me I don't need to do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one more.
During the summer, the questions group is not meeting. I've been an avid attender of the questions group for 4 years or 5 years now. But I've struggled in the recent months with some questions about how those of us who might disagree about some things can still love each other. And I sat down at one point and made a list of what I thought all Christians should be able to agree on. And then I went over to the next page. I was amazed at how many things there were. And then it started getting a little silly. I don't remember exactly what. But it came down about three quarters of the way through the second page, and I sat and thought and was open to the Lord, I thought, and it seemed like he said, well, you know, thinking is sometimes overrated. So I didn't go to questions group for about three times. And then the next thing I seemed to hear from the Lord was, or I thought on my own, I don't know which, but I love those folks too much. I'm going back.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And it occurred to me as I was telling the questions group this story at that point, that a lot of those things that I had listed that we should all agree on were goals.
Mm.
And the things that we might disagree on might be, what's the best way to get there? But I was amazed at how much there was that we would all agree on and
mm-hmm.
wouldn't have to think about too much. And as the first person that shared here, it comes down to love, the relationship yeah. with the people, rather than trying to think everything through too much.
Yeah.
That's a grace for me, because I was always a thinker and a questioner.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Again, you've said so much, but let me just read back to you what you said, or what the Spirit said through you. Well, we can think of grace as love. Well, and we believe in praying, but the horror of the shootings has brought home the truth that love for God and love for neighbors and love for ourselves, that's what's really at the core of it. And we all need grace. We need grace to live it out, not simply to talk about it and not just to pray about it. Because even if we're a Christian all our lives, as one sister said, even if we're Christian since we're 2 years old, we can experience grace and take it for granted because we're expecting something spectacular, when actually grace is the ordinary fabric and fiber of our lives. It's the water that we swim in. And we can see some of the water we're swimming in sometimes when we can recognize God in the ordinary. That one of the hallmarks of grace is surprise. When something captures our attention, then we're surprised. That means that we weren't pre-thinking it. That means that we weren't expecting it. That means that somehow God is breaking in and making God's self known, making the invisible water visible, even though we want it to be spectacular. We recognize, oh, how much more wonderful it is that grace is present and available every moment, every ordinary moment. And there are so many people who have come, at least to this place, to this community, and the Spirit speaking to us today, to find grace. They've come here from childhoods and other places where Christians who are well-meaning teach so many rules that are so impossible to keep. And for those who grew up needing to earn love, to earn grace, who followed the rules and tried to be good, to come to a place like this and find out that grace is actually no rules, because the only rule is love. Love fulfills all the laws. Love sets us free to do what it is that we want to do in Christ. And we would never want to hurt anyone. We would never want to break a rule. We don't need rules when we have love. No rules needed. Yeah, even when we're hit by tow trucks. Hosanna's and the churches and God's grace and care can be God's hands and feet in the world and for us as individuals. So grace is found in community, isn't it? That's what we're hearing a lot this morning. Grace is found in community, that God's grace comes to us even and especially when we're doing things we shouldn't be doing, like worshiping God with bare feet on the platform of a church. Even when we're wandering and journeying in search of God through other philosophies, through other religions, God's there. Even if we're alone, God's with us. Where can I go from your Spirit, Lord? And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. God brings others by grace to be with us in our hell, to be with us in our heaven, and to be with us in every place and every bit of community in between if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. See, God's with us through our whole lives, from our mother's womb, through every day carrying us, through the hardest times. God's there with us in the wife who is God's grace and love for her husband during cancer treatment. God's there with us in every terrible childhood. God's there with the wounded child who experienced grace in her baptism the second time around. God's grace is like a sheltering bridge in the midst of a storm. And isn't it grace itself that we get to be that bridge for others, both to shelter under in a storm, but also to walk over, to connect and reconnect in grace? Grace doesn't mean that everything's okay. Grace doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out the way that we want it to. But waiting in trust is grace. Waiting through the challenge of this moment to the next moment, to the next moment, so that we learn to want to simply be in the moment with God and trust that regardless of how it turns out. It is grace to be alive in this world. It is grace to offer love and grace to others because we all need it. Sometimes people think grace is letting people off the hook. Yeah, we all need it, so maybe we'll just take it for granted and we're just going to condone things that are wrong. Because isn't that grace? Sometimes people think it looks like sin. But you know what it really looks like? It looks like a friend who's able to speak the truth in love. Not preach, not demand, not judge, but offer space and time and truth and love for ourselves and others to be able to experience God, to recognize that we don't know everything, that we can't see everything. And so God unfolds grace. God allows us to experience it as we can, moment by moment by moment, so that it's not so overwhelming that it becomes an obstacle. But slowly, as we can mourn and grieve, slowly as we can even celebrate, because sometimes even the celebration can be so overwhelming in the goodness of it all. So God isn't asking for us to work harder, to change ourselves. God is asking us through all of this to be open and to receive and to let go so that we can be changed. You know, there are those who have been Christian for a long time and have taken grace for granted for a long time, but you know, it's all grace. Even in older age, we awaken and we see the water that we're swimming in, and we get to experience the wonder and the responsibility of grace. And now we get to make new choices because it's all grace. And you hear over and over how so much of what the Spirit is saying today is you get to, you get to. You don't have to, you get to, you get to, you get to, you're free. So maybe at the end of our lives, the hymn that needs to be played at every one of our funerals is Amazing Grace. Because, you know, it really helps us to remember that our perspective is limited and that we do all need grace, and so does everybody else. So maybe it's like a box with different sides, and we humans stand all on the various sides of this infinite box, and we can only see the side that we're facing. And yet, once we know there are other people standing around that box, and you know, I think that's the mystery of God and grace, we're able to try to stand in their shoes, to see from where they stand just a little bit, to expand our vision and our understanding, to include others besides ourselves in this circle of grace. And yes, that's what God does for us. God stands with us. Not only is he the box, he's seeing all of us standing around the box, and he welcomes us in, and he holds us in love. And even though we think grace is hard, and it is sometimes, even when it's hard, grace sustains us. Even when we struggle with those who disagree with us, do you know what? That's where grace is, I think, multiplied, because that's where we can really learn to love. It's easy to love people who agree with us. It's easy to put ourselves in little circles, cliques, where we all agree and we're just mirrors for each other, agreeing with each other. But when you try to make a list of all the things that we Christians can agree with, you know, it goes on for pages and pages and pages. But then God says, hey, that's okay to do. But just remember, thinking is overrated, because human thinking, you can't, you know, there's so much you don't know. So how about this? Love the folks anyway. Love the folks you disagree with or who disagree with you so much you can't help but go back and be with them. There are a lot of things to agree on, sure, a lot of goals. The disagreement, not only among Christians and not only in families, but especially at this time in our nation, in our world, I think everyone agrees on the goals. How do we get there? That's where the disagreement is. So in the end, we come back to where it was in the beginning, not only of your sermon, but only also as it was in the beginning. Love. May we be people of grace. May we embody the grace of God in such a living, incarnational way that even those who disagree with us will know that there's something of God that's real, because they see it in us. May it be so. May it be so. And I wish God's grace upon us all as we go out into this week and beyond. Amen? Beautiful sermon, folks. Let's live it now. Amen? I've got a closing blessing for you. May the grace of God uphold you. The peace of God surround you. The love of God flow from you. And the strength of God protect and bring you safely through this week until we gather again in loving grace next week. Amen? Go be his hands and feet and heart in the world. And let's pray for those who are grieving. Amen? Amen. Thank you.